5. 1 month from today is Boxing Day. Time flies when you're having fun. I love Christmas. Let me get this thing out of the way so I can see you. Favorite part of the year, putting up all the lights. I love to watch my wife put up the lights. And decorate the house. I sit back and I watch her. It's a masterpiece, I tell you. It looks really, really nice. Lights were a very important part of the first Christmas. The angels, of course, did a dazzling light show in the sky, and the shepherds went to Bethlehem as a result, saw the baby Jesus. The wise men saw a great big white light star. They followed it where the Savior was born. Do you know that light and darkness is a major theme in the Bible? In fact, I'd encourage you to search out those two words, darkness and light. And you'll see hundreds of times in the Bible that it's referred to. I'm going to be all over the place. I'm not any particular passage of Scripture, so you might want to just write a few of these down. But 1 John said, God is light. Turn down the gain just a little bit on me. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, we're not going to talk about physical light, but it's important to kind of know the dynamics of physical light to understand the spiritual light. If God is light, then if we are separated from God, we're in darkness. That's what the Bible says. So there's two kingdoms. Paul said this when he was giving his testimony before Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. He said, Jesus said to me, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God. So in the Bible, darkness is a kingdom of Satan is called darkness. And God is the kingdom of light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and have a place among those who are set apart by faith in me. He says, that's what Jesus sent me to do. That's what he told me. I'm sending you to do this. To declare that the light of the world has come. And that they are to be taken from darkness into light. Ephesians says this about the Christians in chapter 5 and verse 8. For once you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. Colossians says because the darkness is on mankind. You see, when man sinned, separation from God took place and darkness enveloped the earth and darkness enveloped the souls of mankind. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 that we ought to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the kingdom of light. For He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. So you come out of darkness into light when you come to know Christ. And has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, Satan blinds the eyes of the people so that they cannot see the light. Which is the good news about Jesus. And shows us what God is like. Satan blinds the eyes. Do you know that you can actually get used to walking in the dark? I mean, it's a little tricky, but you can get used to it. And people walk in the dark. I had somebody just tell me after the first service that they walked in the dark for 3 days, and the last day they didn't realize that the electricity had come back on again. All they had to do is go over and turn the light on. You can get used to walking in the darkness. So Paul exhorts Christians. He says, God takes you out of that kingdom, but you need to learn how to walk in the light. have nothing to do with the fruits, he says in Ephesians 5:11. The fruits, fruitless deeds of darkness have nothing to do with that. Be careful how you live. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Learn how to walk in the light. Have nothing to do with the darkness. Now, everybody has dark days. Days when you don't want to get out of bed. When you're afraid to face the world. When you don't feel like it's worth the effort. You just want to throw in the towel and quit. You don't want to see anybody. We all go through dark times. That's why this series of messages is going to be so important. Because it's going to help us to realize how we can walk in the light. See, there are dark days of disappointment. Job said, I had hoped for happiness and light. But trouble and darkness came instead. That ever happened to you? I had an expectation of something over here, but it didn't turn out that way. In fact, instead of light came darkness. Life has its disappointments sometimes. Things don't work out as planned. Situations don't always work the way we want them. We go through dark days of disappointment, and there are dark days of distress. David said this, I cried desperately for help. Psalm 22:1. I cry desperately for help, but still it does not come. That's when you feel overwhelmed, feel stressed out, stressed to the limit. Christmas can be a stressful time. When you've got too much to do and you don't have enough time. When you've got too much to buy and you don't have enough money. Too many errands to run and not enough energy. We can be stressed out relationally. We can be stressed out with those that we love. Our spouses, our kids, our friends, our bosses, relationships that just are rubbing us the wrong way. And when we have expectations above anything and it doesn't work, we can get stressed. Jesus said this in John 12:46. Jesus said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer wander in darkness. I've come as a light. Jesus wants to light up our life. He wants us to understand some things. Now, most people know why we celebrate Christmas, or at least they know the story of what happened at Christmas. But if you ask them, what are the reasons that Jesus came? Why did Jesus come? They don't know that as well. So we're going to look at that in the weeks to come. Christ said in 1 John 4, it says this of Jesus, in Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's an amazing thing. Now that the days are shorter, sometimes when I get up, it's still dark. Like this morning, when I got up, it's still dark. Okay? And I try, it doesn't always work, to walk out of the bedroom, and we're on the second floor. We got two floors. I mean, bedrooms are upstairs. Kind of a dumb idea for old people, but anyway. And that means that I got to get out of that room without waking my wife, and then somehow I got to get down those stairs. Now, I've got a little timer that turns on a light, but it doesn't turn it on early enough on Sunday mornings. And so, I don't want to stub my toe, and I certainly don't want to fall down the stairs. and I don't want to turn on the lights and wake my wife up. So, there's no way of getting the darkness out. You know, I couldn't turn on a fan and blow the darkness out. I couldn't huff and puff or somehow, darkness, go away, go away. There's only one way you can get rid of the darkness. And that's when you turn on the light. And you know what happens when you turn on the light? This is what Jesus is saying here. The darkness does not overcome it. The darkness doesn't say, Roy, go ahead, turn on the light, we're not leaving. When you turn on the light, the darkness goes. Now Jesus is taking that metaphor and he's applying it to his own life as the light of the world. And he's saying, look it, when I shine my light, the darkness does not have the power to overcome it. So what we need to do then is we need to allow God to shine His light on us. God wants to light up our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about in this series. Because once we understand why Jesus came, we're not only going to know Him better, we're going to want to trust Him better. Because why Jesus came into the world was all for our benefit. Everything was for our benefit. So to help us remember some of this, I've used a little acrostic called LIGHT. Spent a lot of time working that out. And now I hope I can come through with it. Okay, LIGHT. First one today is let us. Jesus came into the world to let us know what God is like. I, He came into the world to inform us of God's plan and purpose for our lives. G, Jesus came into the world to guide our steps. H, Jesus came into the world to heal our hurts. And T, Jesus came into the world to transform our lives. He wants to light up our lives. So we're going to look at Jesus came to this earth to show us what God is really like. The Old Testament says that people walking in darkness has seen a great light. That is a prophecy of Jesus. The world walking in darkness. The prophecy came during the time of the Assyrian captivity of the children of Israel. And the prophet is prophesying about Jesus, but he's prophesying this to these people who are in captivity, walking in darkness, spiritual darkness. They have seen a great light. That's Jesus. So Jesus explodes all the stereotypes of God. He shows us that God is not some impersonal force. Let the force be with you. He's not some energy field. God is not some angry tyrant who sits up in heaven waiting and seeing how miserable He can make our lives. Jesus is exploding some of these stereotypes. God is not some apathetic individual who winds up the world and sets it down and then sits back and watches it happen and never gets involved. The truth is, God is a person, not a power. It's difficult for us to relate to a power. It's difficult to relate to a force, an energy. But when you say God is a person, I can relate to a person. I can be intimate with a person. God is a person, the Bible shows us, and Jesus is going to show us even greater, who loves us, loves you and loves me. And He wants to have a vital, intimate relationship with us. And He has done everything possible to make that happen. And now the ball is in our court. God wants us to see that. He wants us to see that light. Because everything that we have that holds us from that intimate relationship, He's dealt with and taken away. That's the good news. So, I've made up a little prayer that we can pray during this series. God, help me to see the unbelievable picture of who You really are. I ask You to shine Your light on me so I can see You better. That's the goal of this series of talks. Our goal is that God would shed His light on us, that He would illuminate our minds so that we could understand Him and see Him as He really is. A way in which we've never saw Him or understood Him before. Jesus said in John chapter 12, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world. So all those who put their trust in Me will no longer remain in the dark. What He's saying is, I don't want you to be in the dark. I don't want you to be in the dark about life. I don't want you to be in the dark about yourself. I don't want you to be in the dark about your problems. And most of all, I don't want you to be in the dark about who I am and what I really am like. Why is it important for us to know what God is really like? Well, because a lot of my fears and a lot of my worries and a lot of my problems are because I don't know what God's really like. See, if we don't know what God is really like, we tend to avoid Him. If we think, years ago I wrote in my journal, Lord, I was scared to stop running and running in spiritual things. I was working. Doing things for God. Because I had this idea that if I did enough things for God, what more could you do than be a pastor? If you could be a pastor and you could do enough things for God, then just maybe God would be pleased enough with me. And I was scared to stop moving and sit quietly before God because I was afraid that if I did, He would beat up on me. And I was already beating up on myself. The last thing I needed was for God to come and remind me of how useless I really was. That's what happens when you have a wrong idea of God. You're afraid to stop. You're afraid to get intimate. You're afraid to expose yourself. You run from Him. You don't bring your problems to Him. You can't love someone you don't really know. And you can't trust somebody you don't really know. And if we don't really know what God is like, then how in the world are we ever going to trust Him? God says, I want you to be clear about what I'm like. That's because there's an awful lot of distorted images about God. The media is full of distorted images of God. There are all kinds of seminars that you can take and tapes that you can listen to that have distorted ideas of God. You can get distorted ideas from magazines. You can get distorted ideas from your friends. You can get distorted ideas about God from your parents. You can get distorted ideas from God even in church. And what Jesus is saying is, I want to light up your life. I want to illuminate you. I want to show you what God is like. That's why I came, so that you would get a clear picture of what God is really like. So you wouldn't count on what your friends think about God and what they're saying, or what this professor over here, how he's spouting off all of his stuff, and how you hear anybody says, well, you know what, this is what I think about God. Then right away, what they think about God, you don't need to listen about. God wants to have an intimate conversation with you. Jesus said, my sheep, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about us as people. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. I commune with them. If you want to go into an intimate love relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to find out what God's like. And Jesus wants to shed that light on you. He wants to illuminate your mind. He wants to transform your mind so that you can really know what God is like. When you fell in love, you didn't fall in love because what the mother-in-law told you about your daughter. You fell in love with a person. And you fell in love with that person because you got to know them. And so the trouble with our Christianity today is it's a hand-me-down Christianity. We live in the fast age of internet, and we can find out about all the questions we have about God. Just Google it. Jesus says, no. I'm the light of the world. And those that trust in me, they'll find out what God's like. So the first thing we're going to look at is Jesus came to show us what God is really like. So God says this. In the scriptures, we're going to look at a few verses here. I'll give them to you as we go. God says this, I want you to know what I'm like, so you know what? I'm going to come down to earth in a human form so you can tangibly know what I'm like. Hebrews says this, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Hebrews 1:1. But in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The Son reflects God's own glory. And everything about Him represents God exactly. Jesus is the Word of God become flesh. The one who created everything became a human being so that we could identify and He could show us what He's like. John helps articulate this wonder in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word already existed. In the beginning, the Word already existed, He was with God and He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there was. Nothing exists that He didn't make. So the Word, verse 14, became human and lived among us on the earth. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who made Him known to us. You know, there was a time when, in my life, when I was afraid of the image of God the Father. I just couldn't relate. It wasn't because I didn't have a good earthly father, although that could affect that. But it didn't. I had a good father. It just was that when I read the Bible and somehow I got that. But Jesus I liked. I thought Jesus was nice. But I thought, the Father, I don't really know. Until God showed me that Jesus was the exact representation of the Father. That if I was going to understand what God was like, I needed to understand what Jesus was like. And if I understood what Jesus was like, I would know what the Father is like. For Jesus said, the Father and I are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The things that I do are the things that the Father tells me to do. The words that I speak are the words that the Father told me to speak. We're one. And He made me known. That's why Jesus came. Colossians says this in chapter 1. It's the most powerful passage of Scripture concerning this in the Bible. Christ is the invisible image. Is the visible image of the invisible God. Christ is the visible, the one we see, image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all, and He is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things that we see and the things we can't see. Kings and kingdoms and rulers and authority. Everything has been created through Him and for Him. He existed before everything else began, and He holds all creation together. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. We haven't got time or the smarts to understand that God is one person, three persons, one God. But Jesus is the manifestation of God. He is the only God that we'll ever see because the others are invisible. He laid aside His Godhead so that He could die for our sins and become a man. It just simply means He didn't use the God card when He was here on earth. He lived like we lived so that He could identify with us. But He said, if you've seen me, that's all you need to know about God. So let's read on. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and by Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of His blood on the cross. In other words, what it's saying here is that whatever you have done, wherever you have gone, whatever I've done, wherever I've been, whatever baggage I'm carrying that would separate me from God, God made peace with it. On the cross, He dealt with it. Sin is no longer an issue with God. The only issue it is that it separates you from Him because you won't come to Him with it. You're afraid to let His light shine upon it, but He says, if my light shines upon it, it's gone. I'm not going to hold it against you. I've made peace with you. Look at what He says in verse 21. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. Everything in heaven and earth by means of His blood on the cross. And just in case you missed it, Paul says this. This includes you. God made peace with you. God isn't holding anything about you. He's not angry anymore. He's not mad at you anymore. He's made peace with you. He wants a relationship with you. That's the kind of God we've got. God has made everything possible so that we can have a relationship with Him. He's already done all the heavy lifting. He's already done everything that needs to be done. All we need to do is come to Him. All we need to do is accept Him. All we need to do is let His light shine on and come into His presence. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were His enemy, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions, and yet now He brought you back as His friends. He has done this through His death on the cross in His own human body. As a result, He has brought you into the very presence of God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. Don't listen to the one who wants to blind your eyes to this light and keep you in the darkness and let you think that somehow God isn't happy and God dealt with all of that. All that garbage has been dealt with. So come into His presence with rejoicing. Come into His presence realizing that grace upon grace has been extended. Forgiveness upon forgiveness has been granted. All because God wanted to have a relationship with you and took upon Himself your sins so that you and I could be set free from all that and become His friend. That's the kind of God we've got. Jesus is saying, look it, let me shine that light on. Don't learn your theology from anyone else. It's all we need for our struggles, dear people. We need to realize that we can come into the very throne of God through grace. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we come right into His presence. We can have a relationship with Him. We can talk to Him, and we're going to find out He'll heal our hurts, and He'll guide our steps, and He'll direct us and transform our lives. Why? Because He wants to. That's the kind of God He is. Let me read one more verse. A verse that we all know, but it's powerful. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Now listen, we know this so well, but we need to realize, why did Jesus come? Because God loved us. God wanted to have a relationship with us. God wanted to save us and redeem us and bring us back. So, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son, listen to this, into the world to condemn the world. That wasn't His purpose. So if you feel condemned, it's not from Him. You may condemn yourself for what you've done. Your parents may condemn you. Your children may condemn you. Your boss may condemn you. But God didn't send His Son in the world to condemn you. God sent His Son in the world to save you from condemnation. To take away all of that garbage. So whosoever believes in Him is not condemned. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. I encourage you to come to the light. If you haven't come before, to come for the very first time. If you've come from before, I encourage you to walk in the light. As He is in the light. Let His light shine on you. Have a fellowship with Him. See Him as He really is. Pray the prayer. Lord, shine Your light on me so that I may see You as You really are. Loving, gracious, long-suffering, merciful, desiring a relationship with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus. Jesus, we are delighted that you chose to come into the world to take the punishment of our sins upon yourself. We thank you, Father, that you're satisfied with what Jesus did, and therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one who turns the light on in our minds and illuminates our minds with the Spirit of God so that we can see this for a fact. We stand against the forces of darkness that would try and blind us from this truth. And we pray that you would shine your light upon us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Roy? Just want to, again, remind you, tonight is our Christmas dinner. You do need tickets to get in, because we are going to be packed in there. Again, if you have tickets and aren't able to come, please return them so that someone who might like to come can get some. But we hope to see you there. It's going to be a great evening. Thanks for being here this morning, and you're dismissed.